Matthew chapter 1, please. Matthew chapter 1. Today I'm going to have somewhat of a Christmas message. The Lord's placed upon my heart to take the next three Sundays and maybe bring some messages that revolve around Christmas and how we can remember this time of year some of the things that were taking place around the birth of our Savior. And this morning, we're going to find ourselves there in Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 16. And we'll read through verse number 20. The Bible says, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations." So you have 42 generations from Abraham to Christ that are stated there. In verse number 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise, this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." With the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach a message to you entitled, "The Most Privileged Stepdad Ever." I want to bring a message around Jesus' stepdad, Joseph, and what we can learn from this man that God chose to be in a vital position around the birth of our Savior. Let's pray together. Lord God Almighty, we are just filled with gratitude this morning. Lord, thank you for the Lord Jesus. He came for us. Lord, we're humbled by that. And Lord, I'm asking even now that if it has grown cold or lukewarm in any of our hearts, I pray that you would bring a freshness. Lord, a renewing of what Christmas is all about. And Lord, I want to thank you for Joseph this morning and the role that he played, that you chose him to function in as our Savior's stepdad. Lord, help us to draw from the lessons in his life this morning. And Lord Jesus, we're praying that you would be glorified in and through this message. We commit it all to you now. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Well, you see here, we do have an interesting account there in our Matthew chapter 18. Of course, we know that there is a very similar account given in the book of Luke that we do read more about Joseph and some of his characteristics. So we'll bring that out here in just a little bit. Not much is spoken of him in the book of John, in the Gospel of John. Joseph is referred to as Jesus's dad and Mary being from Nazareth. Is this the son of Joseph, the carpenter? And, that was referred to in the book of John. The book of Mark also, we don't see those references there, but in Matthew and Luke, most definitely so. We'll be mainly in Matthew, this morning. But, you know, I say most privileged stepdad ever. But you know, it didn't start off with Joseph feeling that way. In fact, it was quite the contrary. You think about it. He didn't start off feeling like the most privileged man on earth. He would receive news from his beloved wife that she was with child before they had consummated the marriage. You see, in the Jewish culture, marriage was basically in two main parts. It's similar to where it's not exactly the same, of course, but it is similar to way we practice in our culture today, an engagement period, and then the marriage, would be, the wedding day. But in the Jewish culture, when there was a contract given, then there was an espousal, that they were espoused, or the betrothal period we also refer to as, is that is when parents normally or typically would agree with each other and draw up a contract for the son and daughter to be married. Now, typically that period was around 12 months. Sometimes it was shorter, that was usually the time span. And then, after those 12 months, then they would have the big wedding day. And it would not just be one day, as we usually practice in our culture, but 7 days. Now, all you men that have daughters, could you imagine having to pay for that wedding? That'd be a little bit more difficult to fork out for feeding your hungry family members for 7 days. That could be hard on the wallet, but nevertheless, that was the practice. So the context we have is that they are in that period before the official wedding day. Now, I will remind you, there was a binding contract for this marriage. They were legally married in the Jewish culture. And they were married as far as God is concerned, that we see in the Old Testament. There was a binding contract. Now, the only difference was they had not consummated the marriage, which was usually done there at the 12-month period after the wedding day. So what was the purpose of this 1 year? Well, it was to ensure that there was purity before the marriage. And if it were to find out that there was not purity there in any way, it could be annulled. There could be a bill of divorcement that the Bible talks about that was allowed in those situations. And so that's what the reason that it was for. Now, if the contract was violated, there would be a divorce, and in this case, possibly death for Mary. Very serious. It was during this period that Mary would find out from Gabriel, during this betrothal period, this 12-month period, it was during that time that she would get the news from heaven that she would give birth to the Savior of the world. She was chosen of God to be the mother of the Messiah. Now, I can't imagine what would have been going through Joseph's mind upon this news. We don't have the details of exactly how it was shared with him from Scripture, but we do know for a fact that he found out. And one can tend to think that Mary shared this with him, and how devastating it must have been to his heart when the first thing that he hears is that she is with child. Because he knows that he has not been with her in a physical, intimate way. He knows that for a fact. And so therefore, the only thing is rushing through his mind is, how can this be? You know, we talk about psychological shock, people experiencing those type of things. And I can't imagine, but I would think that maybe Joseph was going through some of that. Most of us in this room have been through some type of psychological shock in our lives. Even in our young years, it could be an accident, it could be a loss. Different things take place and cause that. And I believe Joseph definitely was experiencing that. Usually it has to do with a surge of strong emotions, where the adrenaline starts pumping and causes us to even sometimes have a physical reaction in some way, but a very stressful event. What are some of the symptoms of this shock? Well, doing a little research, just some typical symptoms that would come through an event like this, and we're trying to even imagine what is going through Joseph's mind. One thing I mentioned is a feeling of surge of adrenaline, but also you may feel jittery or even physical sick to where you feel like you're going to vomit. Your mind could possibly, in Joseph's mind, as you have perhaps experienced, your mind will likely feel very foggy, as one of the symptoms says, and you can't even think straight. Maybe your chest starts feeling tight. Maybe there's that feeling of disconnection from what's happening. You're like watching a movie of events unfolding rather than actually being there. Almost, can this be real, what I'm experiencing right now? There may be feelings of anger. Feelings of anger and want to scream or yell or however you might want to express that. It may even be the feeling to run because of this shock that you've heard and you can't process it. You can't comprehend it. I can't imagine what Joseph was going through in this time. There's a reason that God chose Joseph as a man who would experience those feelings. That he would be used in a vital role in the life of our Savior Jesus Christ is simply amazing. Why is it that God chose Joseph? Well, I don't know all the reasons, but I do feel that we can draw a few things from Scripture to see perhaps why God did choose this man. Let's look at a few. First of all, look there in verse number 19. We see that then Joseph, her husband, the Bible says, being a just man. Now that's a wonderful compliment there. We also see that that description given to Simeon as one who was righteous, who was just. Joseph was a true Old Testament saint. He was a man that was honest. He was a God-fearing man. He was a man of integrity. I like what Abraham Lincoln said about that, about integrity and character. He said, "Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power." And God was truly choosing Joseph to be a vessel, to be an earthly father, a fatherly figure to the Messiah, the Creator God. Because I believe he was a man of integrity. He was an upright citizen. He paid his taxes. We see that even in Luke chapter 2. We see that he was faithful in following the divine laws, even through the process of divorcement, which he was going to do, because of his perception of unfaithfulness in his wife, Mary. We see that he was a just man that wanted to do right. He even took Jesus to Jerusalem to dedicate him to the Lord, we find in Luke chapter 2, verse 22. We know from Luke chapter 2, verse 41, that every year he would faithfully take his family to Passover. There was a faithfulness there. There was a righteousness there. Not a perfect man. Not a man that was sinless. But I will say this from the authority of Scripture. He was a man that wanted to do right. He wanted to honor the Lord. You know, it's kind of like what Micah said in chapter 6, verse 8, when there was the possibility of offering sacrifices and all these things that could be offered to God. And God said, "Hey, how about this? Let's just say, how about this? Instead of all the sacrifices of animals that you're talking about, listen to what God says in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good." What is good? "And what doth the Lord require of thee to do what? To do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." I believe that Joseph fulfilled that. And God looked upon this man just like as he would look on Mary. And we'll talk about Mary in another message perhaps. But today we look at this characteristic of Joseph. You know, I could be wrong on this. I think I'm right. But I believe when God looks down upon His creation and upon His children and looks at lives and families and people that He wants to use for His glory, I don't believe He's looking for ability. A lot of ability can be offered in this life. You know what I think God's looking for? I believe God's looking for integrity. Somebody that He can look at, man, woman, boy, or girl, and just have a desire to do right. Yes, they fail. Yes, they mess up. But there's always a desire to get back up and say, "God, I want my life to honor You." And I believe that is who we find and Jesus' stepdad. He was a just man. But not only was he a just man, but I believe he was a humble man. Look with me there. Not only a just man, but a humble man. Look at verses 19 and 20 with me. It says that when Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or privily, whatever you prefer there. But the idea was that this is showing a characteristic of humility from this man, Joseph. Number one, it shows humility because he did not want to put her to shame. You remember what could have happened here. According to Deuteronomy, Joseph could have called her out immediately in anger. Could have called her out to the leaders of that community and to the religious leaders, and she could have literally been stoned to death right there upon what he had heard and the news that he got about his wife. But that's not what he did. I see a spirit of humility coming from this man. He chose not to create a public scandal by exposing her condition before the judges of the city. Such an act would have resulted in Mary's death, as one commentary said. And if you want to do a little research on that, you can look in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 23 and 24, which it describes what is to happen if there is unfaithfulness during the betrothal period. But you know what he decided to do? He decides to divorce her privately. What does that mean? How does that show humility from Joseph? Well, this is what it included. He decided that he would do it quietly, and what would happen is he would write up personally a bill of divorcement. He had that right. And he would not take it to the judges of the city. He would do it himself, and he would give it to her privately, to avoid causing her great shame. I believe Joseph was a humble man. And I believe he loved his wife. They had not consummated the marriage. But the fact of the matter is, he loved her. And he cared about her. And even though this news was devastating to his heart and to his mind, how can this be? Look at the steps that he's taking even before he is visited by the angel, which will actually turn his bad news into good news. Think about that. He wanted to divorce her privately. You know, what does that show? It wanted to show that he wanted to protect her from harsh judgment. He wanted to protect her from the town gossip. Lord knows that somebody that wants to show that they show true evidence that they don't love somebody, I tell you how they can show true evidence that they don't love somebody is to gossip about them. May God help us from ever doing that. But we see he did not have a heart to want to cause gossip upon her life. Joseph showed great kindness. It reminds me, because it's so fresh in my mind, our study in Titus, how God showed great kindness towards his creation. His kindness, his benevolence towards us. And while we had done wrong, we had committed adultery, if you will, in our hearts spiritually toward the Creator God. But thank God he showed kindness. That's awesome. That'll be enough for us all to get up and do jumping jacks and praise God. We see that there was a benevolent love shown. He was going to divorce her, according to Deuteronomy 24:1. Why? Because he's a just man. Even though he loved Mary, he had to do what was right before God. But then we see in this humility, we see that he was heartbroken. His beloved Mary, how could this be? Honey, I trusted you. You were a righteous girl, and you upheld a great testimony. Everybody in the community knows how righteous and just you are, Mary. I had confidence in you. And you come to me with this news that you're going to give birth to a Messiah? How can I believe this, Mary? What am I going to do? Can you imagine the emotions that were flooding through this man? But he's still in the heat of the moment and the emotions that were flowing, this man was able to exhibit humility. He was heartbroken, but he showed that. A very dark place. I don't know for sure. I can't prove this, but sometimes I just wonder what kind of position he was in when the angel came and visited him. Maybe he was lying on his bed. I don't know. But have you ever been in one of those dark moments where all you feel like you can do is put your hands in front of your face? And you can't even do anything. You just have no idea what to do. Very dark moment in this man's life. But at that moment, God showed up. God showed up in a miraculous fashion. We see here in the Word of God, look, it says that as while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not, don't be afraid, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Wow. You see what is going on here. He's saying, listen, stay with her. Stay with her. It is the Holy Ghost of God who has planted the seed of the Son of God in Mary's womb. And Joseph, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be afraid. This is God's working. And He's going to show humility here. He's going to share with Joseph that, you know, Joseph, you're really just going to be a stepdad. You're going to be that one that I'm going to put in the position to protect Mary and to protect the Messiah and to teach him. And I don't want to get a hold of myself, but boy, what an act that this man's going to respond with humility. Can you imagine basically what they're saying here, what the angel's saying, what God is using him? And this is where a lot of us don't like to be in our flesh. But you know what Joseph's going to be, church? He's going to be a background man. A background man. One who's just used in the background. You know, I hope all of us are willing to work in the background. May God help us when we serve the Lord for a pat on the back. May God help us when we only want to serve when being seen. May God help us to serve out of the humbleness of our heart and our gratitude towards the Lord God Almighty. And I believe that's what Joseph's going to do in his humility, because that brings me to my next point. Not only was he a just man and a humble man, but I believe he was an obedient man. He was obedient. Look here. We're going to see his response to this news. After this news that, listen, in verse 21, and the news is, Joseph, and she shall bring forth a son. Now notice again that it didn't say your son. That's so important, because truly it is not his son. She says a son. The angel says a son, that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And praise God for that. And verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now this news has suddenly turned into good news, and God has a way of doing that, church. And that's exactly what he's doing here. And look what his response is in verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Now look, there's your obedience. He received the good news that you're going to stay with Mary. You're going to be faithful to her, and you're going to walk with her. You're going to be a godly husband unto her. And he agrees, and he does just that. And notice what it says in verse 25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Now that shows another act of humility and obedience. He refrained from lying with her and having a physical relationship with her, his wife, until after Jesus would be born. That's Joseph. An act of obedience. We see his act of obedience when he fled to Egypt after the angel had warned him that death was near unless he would flee with his family. He obeyed. He went back to Nazareth after the angel warned him, and we see that also in Luke as told by the prophet. We see his obedience to the revelation of God. But then I want us to also see, not only was he just and humble and obedient, but Joseph, the stepdad of Jesus, was blessed. Now, I could go without saying that. That is the most obvious thing of the scriptures that we see. This man was blessed. He was in the royal lineage of King David. We know that from the genealogy that was in the first part of Matthew. But not was he blessed because of that, which that had to stand out to him in later days as he realized that prophecy was being fulfilled through that time in his life. As he looked back at the prophecies of King David, how awesome that truly was to realize. But why else was he blessed? Well, he got to be the husband of the mother of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, that had to be one of the greatest blessings of his life. Now, I know for a fact that the greatest blessing was that you were able to be the stepdad of the Messiah. But I tell you what, as much emphasis God puts in His Word on the blessings of finding a wife that will love the Lord and love you as a husband, I want to tell you, Joseph was a blessed man. Mary, contrary to some teachings, Mary was not perfect. Mary was a sinner, just like you and me. Just like Joseph, her husband. But the very fact is, the truth is, she was one who had a desire to do right. A desire to honor the Lord. And this man was blessed to have a wife like that. Why else was he blessed? Can you imagine with me? He was chosen of God to teach and train God. God in the flesh. This man, Joseph, would have the responsibility in the Jewish culture, and we read in the Old Testament, would have the primary responsibility of teaching this child the Scriptures. To reading the Scriptures and encouraging. And that was Joseph's role as a dad in that home. Wow. Think about that. Teaching and training and loving the Son of God, who is in the flesh, but was also God. That's blessed. He was also, again, his stepson, as I've mentioned, would go on to be the Savior of the world. His stepson would go on to save his own wicked soul. His stepson, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow! Think about Joseph with me, church. He was a just man. He was an obedient man. He was a blessed man. But can I say something to you today? And I believe this is true from the Scriptures. Joseph was just like you and me. A man that had the sin nature, but a man that had decided that he was going to honor the Lord. And we see him truly show that and demonstrate that from the Word of God. What he experienced that day as a background man, as a man who was wanting to honor God, and he was going to do it if he would have found out the other to be true, but the angel met him and he obeyed the voice of God and he went forward and did what God called him to do. And we praise the Lord for that today. Listen, maybe today you are facing some unforeseen circumstances. Maybe there's some things in your mind right now that you're kind of facing the hands time of life. Like, what in the world is going on? I don't know. But I will encourage you to do this. To practice the spirit and heart of our Savior stepdad. Joseph, God told him that it was all going to work out, and he listened and he was blessed. And can I pass the news on to us today and remind us, whatever the darkness is, whatever the confusion is, God declares that it's all going to work out. The bills are going to be paid. The relationships will be reconciled. God will show Himself, and we have to believe that by faith. And God says those that walk by faith will be blessed. We certainly will. And another thing that stands out to me in this message, church, that probably is the most encouraging to me, that God is looking to us. Just in the manner that He was looking to Joseph to be a human vessel. A human vessel that he had for that role at that time, God is wanting to do something very similar in your life, in my life, today. He has chosen you to be used of Him. He has chosen you. Can I say this? That little boy, our Savior, the God-man, or when he was little, the God-boy, he needed his mom and daddy. And we say daddy, we know that's his stepdad. He needed them. Do you know God in His sovereignty has chosen to need us? Now, I know God doesn't. He's all powerful. He doesn't. But in His sovereignty, He has chosen to use the human vessel to accomplish His will in so many ways. And I want to tell you today, God is wanting to use you in a miraculous fashion to bring glory to His name and to help people know about this Savior that we've been singing about, that we've been praising His name. The same name, the same God is wanting to use us. Now the question is, are we available? Are we available with the heart of Joseph who said, "Yes, Lord, I will obey"? I like what one author said about his just, he was just and he was going to follow the law. But I like what one author said, he was strict in the observance of Jewish law and custom. Yet, he was ready when the occasion arose to make these subservient to the greater law of the Spirit. This man realized, after God spoke to him, that he was to go forth in God's power and accomplish exactly what the Lord had for him as the Savior's stepdad. Let's pray together.